This is the fourth part of a seven-part series about the seven haftaras we begin reading after Tisha B'Av all the way through Rosh Hashanah, known as the Shiva de Nechemta, seven haftaras taken from Yeshaya, describing, all taken from the second part of Yeshaya. Yeshaya has two distinct parts to it. The first part is about the history of the first Beis HaMikdash, the invasions, the dangers. But the second part is dedicated solely to nevuos and prophecies of redemption. And by reading the sections which we read during the Haftarah, we're exposed to lessons of Gula. Gula is part of our Emuna, part of the challenge of Avodas Hashem. We'll be asked when we ascend to Shemayin, Tzipisa LeYeshua. So waiting for Yeshua is trying to understand that as best we can. Gula is not rational. Gula is apocalyptic. Gula is something that's very dangerous to predict and sometimes to initiate when there isn't divine mandate. But yet to study how our Nevi'im viewed Gula in general terms, and as best as possible to try to trace them to events in our era, as best we can, is part of the mitzvah of Tzipisa LeYeshua. So this fourth Haftarah is the Haftarah known as Anochi Anochi Hu Menachem Chem Mi'at Vatiri Me'enosh Yamos Mi'ben Adam Chatzir Yinasein. It begins in the middle of the 51st parak of Yeshaya, and it extends all the way towards the end of the 52nd parak. So it's about two prakim, a parak and a half. It's on the larger end of the haftaras. Remember last week's haftarah ani asara, lo nuchama, was a very short haftarah, only two parshios, as it were, parshios of Tanakh. This has eight or nine, I'm just looking at my Tanakh very quickly, eight or nine parshios. That's two prakim, but eight or nine parshios. What are three or four of the highlights and themes of this parsha? So obviously the first and most glaring aspect is in the very beginning. Anochi, Anochi, Hu Menachemchem. The double language and the message of Nechama seems very similar, very parallel to, not Perek Nun Aleph, which is our Perek, but Perek Mem. Not the Haftarah of Parsha Shoftim, but the Haftarah of Parsha Veschana. Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, Yamar Lakoyach, double language, Nechama. But there's one crucial difference. In Parshas Nachamu, or the section of Nachamu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is instructing Am Yisrael to console themselves because Gula is on the horizon. And Hashem says, again, in Varian, I spoke about this in the previous year, not because of any relationship with us, not because of any promise to the Avos, Kinir Tzavona, because our sin has already expired, and Hashem will now present himself to the Umos Ha'olam, and the awe, and the power, and the majesty of Hashem will be on display through Gula. Part of Gula is restructuring and rehabilitating the fallen presence of Hashem in our world. And a lot of the voices, whatever voices there are voices in the desert that announce the presence of Hashem. Kol kore bamidbar. There's a voice in the desert that Hashem is coming. Kol omer kara. But Hashem isn't speaking directly to Am Yisrael, just as Nachamu, Nachamu Amin, he tells him, this is what I will perform on the world and historical stage. And Hashem doesn't appear to them in any intimate setting, like a father or a mother. In Perek Nun Aleph, part of Nachama, part of the result of Nechama is HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebuilding a relationship or allowing us to rebuild a relationship with Him. Part of the Nechama of Geula is the recognition that as sad as Jewish history declines, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is itself a Nechama. Either way, there is a huge difference between Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, which Hashem instructs us to have Nechama, and between Anochi, Anochi, Hu Menachem Chem, which Hashem says, I am your Nechama. And the difference can be grasped just in the double language. The double language in Perek Mem is Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, about the experience of Nechama. The double language here is Anochi, Anochi. Hashem says, me, me, I'm here. So the Nechama is not just about history and about rebuilt sovereignty and rebuilt land and children coming back, and about renewed riches, but it's about the presence of Hashem, which was always there but distant from us, and now that presence is restored, and that in itself is the Nechama. Before the Parsha details, this Parsha doesn't really detail. Towards the end it details the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, the rebuilding of Tzion. But the primary purpose is the rebuilding of that relationship. And that's the theme of Anochi, Anochi, Unachamchem. Of course, the word Anochi is stressed twice, as opposed to Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Anochi, Anochi. There's a presence, there's an intimacy. The word Anochi is iconic. It resonates with Har Sinai, it resonates with other moments in Jewish history. So the difference between Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, and Anochi, Anochi, Hu Menachemchem is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a lot more intimate, a lot more personally engaged with us. He is the Nechama, the primary Nechama, the primary purpose of Gula is the restoration of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not the wealth, not the riches, not the return of the children. Those are all enablers. And the continuation of that first section highlights, Hashem almost feels betrayed. He says, why were you so afraid throughout Golos of all these other nations and all these other powerful forces? They're meaningless. They fade. Mi'at v'tiri me'anosh yamos. Why were you afraid of mortal man who dies? V'ben adam chatzir yenasein. And because of that, v'tishkach Hashem osecha. You forgot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem feels a little bit betrayed. Why were you so concerned with other people, other nations, empires? That eroded the relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That eroded your emunah. And Geula is an attempt to rebuild that relationship. So the first pasuk of this Haftarah, Anochi, Anochi, Hu Menachemchem, of course, we know that phrase, but the continuation, Mi'at Vatiri, why were you so afraid, man? Oh, you're almost a mortal man. Hashem felt betrayed that instead of building the relationship with him, you were afraid of man, and you allowed that fear to, in some ways, limit your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another sign or another manifestation in this parsha of the intimacy between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his people is who is Hashem speaking with and how does he speak to them? Mentioned in previous shirim that sometimes Hashem is speaking to Tzion and sometimes Hashem is speaking to Yerushalayim rather than to the people. Vatomer Tzion Azavani Hashem. Hashem speaks to Yerushalayim about it being rebuilt. Now, obviously, Yerushalayim is inanimate. Obviously, when Hashem speaks to Tzion and to Yerushalayim, he's speaking to the people who will one day inhabit her and benefit from her restoration. But it's a way for us to feel less awkward because we may not deserve Hashem's geula. But Tzion or Yerushalayim, something collective, something historical, something based on the Avos, Hashem is speaking to a more historical arc and with the beneficiaries. Here too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Tzion, but in a very, very personal way. It's the last pasuk of the first parsha. V'asim devarai b'ficha, I'll place my word in your mouth, and I'll talk about this phrase a little bit later. Uvetzel yadi kisisicha, and I will shade you, and I'll protect you with my shade. So there's, again, a very, very similar to Shir HaShirim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu covers us with his shade, puts his hand under our neck, supports us. And the pasuk ends, V'le'mor l'tzion amiyata, and I'll tell Tzion, you're my nation. Wait a second, Tzion is a place. It's a place that's a metaphor, but it's a place within which a nation dwells. So Tzion refers to the city, the fortress, the citadel, the mountain, something about Yerushalayim, and of course, the inhabitants by extension. V'le'mor l'tzion amiyata. In fact, the Medrash says this is the only time in Tanakh in which the word Tzion, which is such an iconic word in the modern era, refers to Jews, not to place or not to concept. So here is the only time in Tanakh where there's a phrase that's typically used to, in a way that creates detachment between Hashem and Am Yisrael, an attachment which is important because it's hard for us to face HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we're embarrassed. It's easier for us to feel that we're the beneficiaries of Tzion, the beneficiaries of Yerushalayim, the beneficiaries of a collective, historical, covenantal. But Hashem says, V'le'mor l'tzion amiyata. So the very phrase which sometimes creates distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Am Yisrael here, Hashem is calling Tzion amiyata. So this is the introductory part of the Haftarah. It's a very, very different tone than Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, Anochi, Anochi, Hu Menachemchem. Now, the second striking part of this Haftarah is that it's much more detailed and much more clear in it presenting the terms of our Golos. So, for example, compare it and contrast it to last week's Haftarah. Last week's Haftarah began, and almost ended because it was a very quick Haftarah, Ani Asara Lo Nechama. We're caught in a storm, Sara, we're poor. So these are metaphors, and these metaphors capture the stormy nature of Galus, the poverty of Galus. That's it. There aren't that many details here. Or the Tormetzion is Avani Hashem, Parsha Zekev, the absence of children, the absence of dwellers and residents and population. It's a metaphor that Tzion is desolate, Tzion is lonely, Tzion is abandoned. In this week's Haftarah, there's much more detail about the Galus. And of course, since it's Yeshaya speaking about two Galuses, and I'll talk about the duality later, but there's a lot of double languages in this week's Haftarah. Anochi, Anochi, Hu Menachem Chem, His Oriri, His Oriri. Well, we know that pasuk is Ari, Is Oriri. Uri, Uri, Liv Shios, Kol Mevaser, Mevaser Yeshua, Mashmi Atov. There's a lot of double languages when we return from Galus. Suru, Suru, Tzu Misham, leave Galus. We'll talk about why these double languages are important later, but it's clear that the Navi isn't just describing an abstract state of being abandoned by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it's relating to specific periods, in this case, the two periods of Galus. And there are some very, very gory descriptions of what happens to the Jewish people. So, for example, Mi'anud l'chashod v'hashever hara'av v'acherev, being ransacked and taken captive, hashod, hara'av, the hunger, hacherev, the sword, mi'anachamech. So there's a very, very clear description of some of the poverty, hunger, sword, bondage, slavery, which the Jewish people faced in their galus. And then the next pasuk describes, banayich ulfu shachvu barosh kol chutzos kitom michmar. Your children, they fell, they fainted, they were lying in the streets, they were trampled upon. These are real scenes that took place during the two Churbanos. A little bit later, Hashem Rulen Avsheich, our enemies told, Shechi v'Navara, lie down, we'll trample upon you, we'll walk upon you. So there's a sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't just redeeming us after 2,000 years of absence, which occurred in the other two Nevuos, but Hashem is detailing all that we've suffered. And that toll of suffering has to count for something. If you suffered on behalf of someone, and that person came back and was ignorant of the suffering and the dedication and the devotion, and just said, well, I'm here, now let's resume the relationship and the intimacy, you'd feel a little shortchanged. You'd feel, wait a second, I've gone to the mat for you, I've struggled for you. So this is a nechama, Hashem says, I'm aware of what happened to you. It's not just, oh, by the way, we've been distant, and by the way, you're caught in a storm, and I'm here to relieve the storm, and to illuminate the distortion and to return our relationship. Hashem says, I'm aware of what you've been through, and I'm going to compensate you. And that compensation is captured by a very famous, famous image. Hashem says, Hinei lakachti miyadeich es kos hatareila. I've taken the cup of suffering and staggering and difficulties. Kos chamasi. Again, the double language. The cup of my anger. Lo tosifi l'shtosa'od. You won't drink it anymore. I'll give it to your enemies, and you'll celebrate in Yerushalayim. So I understand how much you've suffered, and I'm going to avenge cup of wine for a cup of wine. So Hashem is rolling up his sleeves, as it were, and getting into the details, and that's a nechama that's missing from some of the other nevuos. Hashem is very aware of what we've suffered. In fact, there's a very powerful Gemara in Erevin, because at some point HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls us, let me see if I can find the pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls us a nation that's drunk, shchuras v'lo miyayin. L'chein shimin azos aniya, that poor nation, u'shchuras v'lo miyayin, you're drunk without wine. Now what does it mean to be drunk without wine? Well, it can mean many things. We were drunk with idolatry, we were drunk with betrayal, we were drunk with disobedience. It doesn't have good connotations. But the Gemara in Erevin assumes this is that we were drunk, not as the cause of the exile in our behavior during the period of the Beis HaMikdash, but we became drunk with suffering and persecution in the thousands of years we wandered through Galus. And according to Gemara and Erevin, we could be excused from our failure to perform mitzvahs. Gemara walks away from that exoneration and says, well, at least we're excused from davening, because a drunk person is putter from davening, because we're drunk with so many suffering and persecution, discrimination. If our davening falters, it's not our fault. But it's an amazing concept. It's an important concept. So many Jews in the end of history are no longer classically Orthodox. How do you view them? I view it as, again, not ideal. Not something I'm willing to justify or excuse. But they've had their Judaism and their Orthodoxy beaten out of them. It's so hard to live in the end of, again, the state of Israel has somehow repaired that partially, but it's just so hard. It's so many inquisitions and so many auto de fe's and so many pogroms and so many, and then the Holocaust, and many people just gave up. And the Gemara in Erevin is suggesting that maybe we should give people a pass. Celebrate those who succeeded, but still give people a pass. Understand that it's been a long journey. But Hashem recognizes that. And there's a statement of Nechama here. I know what you've been through. I'm not just here to rebuild the relationships. I know how much you've sacrificed on my behalf. So the first difference of this section, Anochi, Anochi, Umenachem Chem, is a personalization. Anochi, I'm here, not Nachamu, Nachamomi, Anochi, Anochi, Umenachem Chem. Kadosh Baruch Hu is covering us with his hand. He's calling us Tzion rather than speaking to the city. The second part of that is that Hashem says, I'm aware of what you've been through. I've detailed the galus. Hashem is actually almost there's a clear description of the galus. Hashem says, Ki cho amar Hashem Elokim Mitzrayim yamara mi berishona. First they descended to Mitzrayim, the first galus, Lagorsham. The Ashur be Ephes Ashako, and then they were stripped by Ashur for no reason, without any money, without any hosting. V'yatam aliponum Hashem, and now I'm not here anymore. So this is a description of three galuses, and again, I'll talk about why these numbers are important later. So those are the two primary themes of the Haftarah. I want to discuss three other points in the Haftarah. Something about Purim, something about the Avar Benel, and something about the pace of Geula in the modern era. There's a section in the beginning which talks about the fear, and I mentioned this before, the fear. V'atefachei tamid kol hayom mipnei chamas ha-meitzik. The entire day you were frightened because of the meitzik, because of the people who were trying to torture you and persecute you. Kasher konein la-shchis, they wanted to destroy you. V'ayei chamas ha-meitzik, where's the anger of the person that wanted to destroy you? And there's a pasuk that almost laughs at the mortality of men. Miher tzor li pasach, he runs or he wants to regurgitate or defecate, v'lay amus, so he doesn't die, l'shachas, v'lay yisna lechmo, about how silly it was to be so frightened of this mitzik who was angry and you were frightened the whole day. So again, this is a metaphor for any of our torturers or persecutors or adversaries. But Chazal understood the angry mitzik who made us afraid all day long and just disappeared. This is a reference to Haman. Chazal read Haman into Yeshaya's Nevuah. Remember, Yeshaya lives before Haman. And there's an interesting medrash. The medrash says, why is Yeshaya featuring Haman? Let me tell you the medrash and then broaden the meaning of the medrash. Medrash says that the Jewish people were indicted in Shemayim because of the fear of Haman. Why should you be so afraid of Haman? He's a human being. Your faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bolster you against this rampant fear and dread and panic. But they were exonerated because their grandfather was afraid of Haman's grandfather. Who was their grandfather who feared, who was cautious when he encountered Haman's grandfather? Well, Yaakov was afraid when he encountered Esav. And that justifies. And it's really a fascinating medrash as a standalone medrash because we learn so much from our avos about aspiration and ambition and growth and development and goals and trying to transcend ourselves. In this case, we can also learn from the Avos, it's all right to be a human being. As faithful as you are, you're allowed to be afraid. And you shouldn't feel a letdown religiously if you've experienced fear. And Yaakov teaches us that it's all right to be afraid, and fear and faith can exist side by side, hand in hand. Just because we're afraid doesn't mean we don't have faith. And Yaakov sets the template for that. But it seems as if Haman becomes the template for all Jewish encounters going forward from the miracle of Purim in between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash and the rest of Jewish history. There's going to be a lot of fear. There's going to be a lot of encounter. You don't have as many before. You have conquering, but you don't have as many difficult, delicate situations in which the Jewish people are facing lehashchis. Lehashchis la'rog la'beres kol ha'yudim. The language is konein lehashchis, le'emus la'shachas. There's a lot of lehashchis and shachas. A play on words, lehashchis means to destroy, shachas means straw and fast-fading vegetation that people are likened to because they don't have any staying power. So Yeshayahu is describing a template for what will happen during this galus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what will happen, takes it into account, and will compensate us when galus ends. Second, minor but major issue in the Haftarah. Towards the end of the Haftarah now, Manavu al Harim, how beautiful, on the mountains, Raglei Mevaser, the legs of the announcer, Mashmia Shalom, what is he announcing? He's announcing peace. Mevaser Tov is informing about a world of prosperity, but not just peace and prosperity, but Mashmia Yeshua, redemption, salvation, Omer Letzion, announcing to Tzion, Malach Elokeich. Of course, these phrases are well known to us. They're probably amongst the most popular metaphors and imageries associated with Mashiach. In a more literal way, many understood that this person who will announce Mashiach before Mashiach comes refers to Eliyahu HaNavi, who will arrive to announce Tov and Shalom and then ultimately Yeshua. We feature this pasuk very prominently in Hoshana Rabbah. Some of you may remember, Kol Mevaser, Mevaser V'Omer, Kol Mevaser, Mevaser V'Omer. This particular phrase captured the imagination of Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel. Of course, Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel, a very, very prominent member of the Spanish government, King Ferdinand, and he was expelled with the Jews in 1492 and makes his way to Italy. And thought a lot about Mashiach, thought a lot about Gula, thought a lot about refuting Christian claims. And one of his, to me, most amazing, incredible svarim is the sefer called Mashmia Yeshua, based on the pasuk in the Haftarah. And he talks in the, or he lists in the sefer called Mashmia Yeshua, 17 mevasrim, 17 nevi'im, or 17 nevuos. They're not all exclusive. Many nevi'im are mevaser repeatedly, but 17 mevasrim. No, actually, it's my mistake. There are 17 different mevasrim, 17 Bigamatria Tov, Mivaser Tov, Tov is Bigamatria 17, 17 Nevi'im who spoke about the Gula, and he essentially chronicles the differences between their Nevuah. So if you want to study Gula through the prism of various Nevi'im, well, these Shirim hopefully are helpful, but go back to the source and study the Abarbanel Sefer called Mashmia Yeshua and the second Sefer called Yeshua's Mashicha. And they're not just listing Nevuos based on the Mevasrim, the people that will tell us about Nevuah, Kol Mevaser, Manavu Elohim Raglim Mevaser. But there's also a disputational element to it. Essentially, the Abarbanel is trying to dispute Islam, but essentially, since he's living in Spain, he's trying to dispute Christianity. And Christianity believes, suggested, that all the Nevuahs were articulated about the second Beis HaMikdash, because they're all spoken by Nevi'im. So if Mashiach arrives when the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, so that could support the contention that Jesus was the Mashiach, chas v'shalom. And then Abarbanel is trying to refute this and say, no, these are not about the second Beis HaMikdash. The period of the second Beis HaMikdash does not reflect all the Messianic promises. It's about a period after, thousands of years later, a different period, a different chapter. And he concludes almost every chapter with proofs from those nevuos that he studies, that he presents, that the Nevuos of Gula do not refer to the second Beis HaMikdash. And there's a lot in this week's Haftarah. First of all, the double language. Anochi, Anochi. Hisarari, Hisarari. Uri, Uri. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, through the Nevuah of Yeshaya, promising twice, Anochi, Anochi. Promising twice, Nachamu, Nachamu. Promising twice, Hisarari, Hisarari. Well, one will be the return in the second Beis HaMikdash. But the second Hisarari, the second Anochi, the second Nachamu will be the return, Mirtz Hashem, that we're waiting for and that ultimately Christianity's contention is debunked. The same way when HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes the Gullus, Kamar Hashem Mitzrayim Yamanim Yaradim Yiborishon, first it went down to Mitzrayim, Sefer Bereishis, the Ashur B'Ephes Hashako, and then Ashur and Bavel. Bavel stemmed from Ashur, the first Beis HaMikdash, and then V'yatam aliponu Hashem kilukach amichinam. Then there's a third galus, and there's a third gula. So this whole conclusion, manavu al harim raglei mevaser, very poetic, very beautiful. The feet of the mevaser, the feet of the nevim who will announce gula, who will present gula, who will predict gula, mashmia Yeshua, mevaser tov, omer letzion malach elokeich. The final detail of this haftarah of note is the final pasuk of the Haftarah. When we think about Geula, we think that Geula is rapid and quick and electric and a complete overhaul overnight. And indeed, the first Geula evokes those images. It took a few hours for the entire world to be overhauled, to be inverted. And for some, the slow, maddening pace of our current Geula is both frustrating and theologically perplexing. Well, maybe it's not Geula if it's so slow, if there are regressions, if there are withdrawals. And Yeshaya, in this final pasuk of the Haftarah, it's a well-known pasuk, reminds us that not every Geula will follow the pattern of Mitzrayim. And he uses the same word which characterizes Geulas Mitzrayim, but he refutes it. Ki lo b'chipazon teitzeu. You will not exit this final Geulas immediately. It may happen immediately, but it may not happen. We don't merit it. Uvim nusel lo telechu. You won't flee. You won't run as they ran to the Yam. Ki holech lifnechem Hashem. Hashem walks before you. U'ma'asifchem elokei Yisrael, and walks behind you to protect you, but there's a human pace. It's a very powerful metaphor. Hashem walks before you and Hashem walks behind you. Well, that means that we're in the center and that we dictate the pace, and that there's a human pace to Geula and there's a human initiative to Geula. So there really are two messages in this pasuk. Number one, it won't happen quickly. Number two, maybe human beings will have a say in it and have a role and will influence it, which of course may dictate the first issue, that it won't happen immediately. So these are the 5 points to keep in mind when you read this week's Haftarah. Number one, it's much more personalized. Anochi, anochi hu menachemchem, as opposed to nachamu, nachamu ami, the word anochi. Second of all, Hashem details the terms of our galus and the suffering. He's well aware he's going to compensate us. He's going to repay us for our faith. He will excuse us for our weaknesses. Number three, there's a few psukim in the beginning which Chazal see as a reference to Haman and a template for Jewish fear, but Jewish fear which would repeat itself in galus, and we're allowed to be afraid, even though we still have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number four, the announcers, the informers, the predictors, the mevasrim, the mashmia tov, mashmia Yeshua. And then finally, ki lo b'chipazon teitzeu. 5 lessons of Geula from this week's Haftarah.